Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. This is the Common English Bible version. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own? Or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate responded, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here." "So you are a king?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may recall that I don't think it's pejorative to say a geek. At heart, that's my heart. And yes, that's partly about, you know, my love for all things sci-fi, particularly Star Wars. My appreciation for TV shows like The Big Bang Theory. But part of where sort of that's rooted, part of where that comes from is I have a pretty deep connection with technology. I like technology. I feel comfortable in technology. I've told you the story before about how when I was in elementary school, my dad brought home the first computer on our block, an old Apple II, which makes me sound really old, by the way. My first like real job was at Six Flags Magic Mountain. And I worked there for a while, and after I was there for about 8 or 9 years, I was offered a job. It was a surprise that I was offered this job. A friend of mine worked in a nearby Kinko's. I'd go see him from time to time, and it was one time I went in to see him, and his boss comes up to me and says, I need to talk to you. He's probably going to tell me I can't come in and visit my friend anymore. He says, "Your friend tells me that you're pretty good with tech, and I'd like to offer you a job." And so I started working in this Kinko's. I actually did both jobs. I worked 7 days a week for about 6 months because I wanted to keep my health benefits. And then I stayed with Kinko's for quite a while. I worked in that Kinko's branch, you know, designing business cards and flyers and making resumes and things. Eventually, I ran the department. And eventually, I was moved up to the corporate office where I continued to climb that ladder. My highest position there was a software integration engineer on a team responsible for all of the software on all of the rental computers in all 1,100 branches for Kinko's. We would integrate and make installation packages for every single one of those computers and every single one of those Kinko's branches. As Kinko's continued to grow, people were interested, and eventually Kinko's got bought by a company you probably have heard of, FedEx. In that process, Kinko's moved all of their corporate folks to Dallas. And when I say all of their corporate folks, I don't really mean all of us. And so I was laid off. And it was an ending that I wrestled with. They gave us all a book, which in the moment I thought was pretty cool, and then I realized that like that kind of stunk. The book was "Who Moves My Cheese?" Yeah. Which just sort of felt like a little smack. but I had to figure out what to do. Now, what I ended up doing was starting my own IT support business. I wasn't going to sit around. I was going to get to work. And I ended up, you know, gathering some clients, and I ended up able to support myself, not only for those years, but also through all three of my years of seminary. One of my primary clients, I was a contractor, one of my primary contracts was the California Pacific Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. And I suggest that it is not in that experience that I had my call to ministry. But I will say that it is in that experience that I made the connections that made this pathway into ministry smoother, for me, more possible. And the reason I tell you that story is because sometimes things feel like they're ending. And it's not always an ending. In fact, very often it's not an ending. Here we are at the end of the liturgical year. Now, maybe you're not a church nerd the way I am, because I'm also that. Maybe you don't necessarily follow that liturgical calendar, but this is the end of the liturgical year. And if you follow the Revised Common Lectionary, it's the end of year B. We got to move into year C. And when does that start? Next week. See, today is an ending, but what immediately follows this ending is a beginning. We begin the season of Advent. We begin to prepare our hearts for the incarnation of Christ. We, just a few months ago, we said farewell to my friend Tara. And as she is here one more Sunday, what do we celebrate as we say goodbye to you again? We celebrate a beginning. We baptized Isaiah, a beginning, an initiation into the life of Christ, into the church, into the community. He's tithing. He's chewing on his baptism or the offering envelope. As we say goodbye, we also welcome our new sibling in Christ. When there is an ending, there is a beginning. As you heard Deborah's reading from our text today from the Gospel of John, we hear this questioning by Pilate, and we know we're familiar with the story. Here is Jesus before Pilate. He's been arrested. There's whipping. There's going to be torture and execution, and it's an ending. But we know as people of faith that when we read the Gospels, the crucifixion of Christ is not the ending, because there is a resurrection. There is a beginning. Thanks be to God. When there is ending, there is also beginning. As Pilate questions Jesus, he says some interesting things. If you ever see me bring up more than one Bible, you know we're going to have a good time. If you don't have more than one translation of your Bible, I encourage you to get it. It's so helpful to have more than one. This is my Common English Bible, the same translation that was read. I also brought up, this is my New Revised Standard, my Wesley Study Bible. And then this one's an interesting Bible. This is a parallel. This has both the New International Version and the Message Version. And we're going to talk a little bit about all three of these, because as the text begins, there is something fascinating right away. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" I wonder how much distaste was in his voice when he said that. I heard one preacher once, he said it this way, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Yes. But some history might help. What would happen when a Roman governor found another king, someone over whom he had power? Especially someone over whom there had been armies and conquering and victory. That king would be forced to kneel and comply with whatever that Roman governor wanted. And so I wonder, I wonder, as Pilate asked that question, with all the distaste that I imagine, I wonder if his expectation was to make this man confess who he is so that he must kneel. Jesus does the thing that Jesus does so well. He answers a question with a question. Do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me? Pilate responded, and I still hear the same distaste, but I hear a little bit of defensiveness in this too. I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. So what have you done? Jesus replied, my kingdom doesn't originate from this world. That's the sentence. My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. The NRSV says something similar. I'm just finding my place. My kingdom is not from this world, is what it says. My kingdom is not from this world. The New International Version says, my kingdom is not of this world. And then the Message Version, that's interesting. My kingdom doesn't consist of what you see around you. I wonder if you've ever been asked this question. Where are you from? Where are you from? Maybe when you're asked that question, maybe you think of a place. But maybe you don't think of a place. Maybe you think of a family. Maybe you think of a time. Listen, when somebody asks me where I'm from, sometimes I'm reminded that I'm deeply Gen X. Because my Gen X friends, we were raised a particular way, weren't we? I didn't think about this until just now. I believe the Spirit moves. I was invited a while back to write a poem. And I just wonder if I can find it. The poem is called Where I'm From. It was part of a clergy gathering, and we were given sort of a structure. And if you'll indulge me, I'll read this poem about where I'm from. I am from Olive Green Appliances, from Crest Toothpaste, and Pet Rocks. My dad had a pet rock in the front yard. I'm from the house with the tree where God speaks. Then from the trees that touch the sky and the dirt hills where bicycles leap, I am from canasta and kayaks and pianos being played before they were not. I am from Kitty and Eleanor and Howard. I am from extroversion and the great circle of life. I'm from vegetables that put hair on my chest. And the magical goodness of apple butter. I am from generational Methodism and infinite love. I'm from Florida and Missouri and canasta. I am from potato cheese soup and anything that can be eaten with chopsticks. I am from the lights of Hollywood, from numbers and ledgers, and the devastation of death. I am from ache and hope and privilege and the joy of working for love. My dear friends, where are you from? If we are people who proclaim Christ, Does it help us to know where we are from? To think about where Christ is from. He says, my kingdom is not from this place. And perhaps he's talking about something more than governments and places and particular communities. Perhaps he talks about something that transcends these things. There is a classic theological expression that in Latin says, creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. As I went through seminary, I studied that phrase. I studied the theology behind it. And I'll be honest with you, friends, I decided I didn't like it very much. Not because I disagree with it, but because I thought there was a better description. Creatio ex amore. I do, in fact, affirm the classic idea that God created the world and everything in it and the universe out of nothing. And I believe that God created the world and everything in the universe out of love. If we want to talk about where is Christ's kingdom, where is Christ's kingdom from? I tell you, there are two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with everything you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. Christ the King Sunday is a relatively new tradition in Christianity. It began in 1925. Did you know this? Begun by Pope Pius, hold on, I got to look it up because there were more than one Pope Pius. Pope Pius the 11th in 1925. And the purpose was to reassert the primariness of Jesus' lordship. Over the rise in that time, 1925, over the rise in that time of nationalism and authoritarianism in European politics. Not a lot of good it did, because it was not much after that that same pope came to an agreement with the German government called the Reichskonkordat. Arguably opening the door for the Nazi government to take over and wreck the world. As we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, let us learn the lessons of history. As we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, let us recognize that if we are to proclaim Christ as King, as Lordship over all, from where does that kingdom come? Creatio ex amore. Christ's kingdom is out of love. Christ's kingdom is love. When we are afraid, when we are concerned about violence, about the rise of nationalism around this world, when we fear those things, let us respond faithfully, deeply, actively with love. Hate cannot drive out darkness. Only love can do that. May we boldly and prophetically be a people of Christ's kingdom. Boldly and prophetically be a people of love. Amen.